This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be taking a look at the last chapter of the book of John. It's an event that John records that Matthew didn't record, and I just want to look at it in light of the message that we looked at this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, and I'd like to look at verses 15 through the end of the chapter. John chapter 21, verses 15 through the end of the chapter. This is an interaction that Jesus is having with the disciples in the Galilee region, and specifically with Peter. And one of the things I wanted to look at is God never gives up on his people. And God is there to help us understand that, as we studied this morning, he's with us forever, even until the end of the world. Even though we at times may fail, he never fails us. And so let's just take a look at these verses this afternoon. So when they had dined, and just to set the tone of what was happening here in the previous verses, Jesus had come back to the Galilee region. Remember, he told them to meet him up in Galilee. And Jesus, the fishermen, they'd gone out fishing, and as they were coming back off the Lake of Galilee, Jesus was on the shore. And they see someone on the shore that's preparing a meal, and it's the Lord. And so the Lord has prepared them a meal on the shore, and as they come, they eat, and after they've eaten on the shore, Jesus has this interaction with Peter. And so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yes, Lord, you knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter grieved because he said it unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And then went this saying among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that this testimony is true. And there is also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. And Lord, help us to see that our focus is right. And help us to see the fact that you do care. And you know all about us. You know about our weaknesses as well as our strengths. And Father, you've called us to follow you in spite of who we are. What an amazing thing. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to keep our focus on you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can imagine that Peter has always been the one that is impetuous Peter. He's always there with the first one that says something. He's always boisterous, Peter. You can imagine he was loud. Everybody probably knew when Peter said something. And Peter had really, when Jesus had told them that he was going to be going to the cross, Peter was the one that drew his sword, remember? And wasn't very good as a swordsman, though, because he cut off the guy's ear. And Jesus healed the servant of the high priest, who Peter had mutilated with his sword. And then Peter, like the other disciples, ran away. But before that event had happened, Jesus had challenged his disciples and told them what was going to happen that week, that he was going to be arrested, that he was going to be tried and beaten, that he was going to ultimately be scourged and then placed on the cross and put to death, but that he would be buried and he would rise again. But they really didn't believe it, and when he said it, they all said, well, they tried to up one another. Well, I'll go with you to the death. I'll go with you. And Peter was the one. Well, Lord, all of these may fail you, but there's me. I'll go with you. And Jesus turned to Peter and he said, before the night's over, Peter, you'll deny me three times. Before the cock crows in the morning, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. From now until three, you will deny me. You won't go with me. And as a matter of fact, you'll fail me. And really what the Lord is showing Peter is that in our own strength we can do nothing. And what our real character is apart from Christ. We think we're something we're not, but with Christ we become something that we can't be, if you follow what I'm saying. We think we're something we're not, but with Christ we become something we can't be without Him. And this is what the Lord is teaching Peter. So now Peter, if you remember, was along with John, was the first two disciples to run down to the tomb to see if it was really empty. And they saw that it was. Peter was in the upper room and the Lord appeared to him there. And so Peter, and then he had obeyed the Lord and gone back to the Galilee, as the Lord had said. But it's also interesting that all the disciples, instead of waiting for Jesus, they went fishing and then they went up on the mountain where Jesus told them to meet him. But as you're looking at this account and interaction, Jesus wants to show Peter something important. He wants to show him basically two things, I believe. The first thing is, Peter, I haven't forgotten you. And I'm still got plans for you. I'm still going to use you. In spite of the fact that you failed me, I'm not failing you. And the second thing is, Peter, I want you to understand I'm giving you responsibilities that are significant and important. But you can only fulfill these responsibilities if you understand our relationship. And it's just that, a relationship, and the depth of your love for me is critical to your being able to fulfill the commands I'm going to give you. Now, the Lord begins with Peter, and he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, you can imagine Jesus sitting here, and all the disciples are sitting around, and he goes, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? And the other disciples are around. Because remember, what had Peter done? I don't care what anybody else is doing, but I'll go with you to the death. Do you love me more than these, Peter? He wanted Peter to understand, first of all, there was significance in that Christ was working in the hearts of all men, but he wanted Peter to understand that he still had a significant and important relationship with him that was critical and important. And he also wanted Peter to understand that humility was part of that relationship, not arrogance. Humility is important if we're ever to be used by God. Because when we're filled with arrogance and pride, then is when we think it's because of me and what I've done and what I'm doing. And look at how much better I am than everybody around me. And what Jesus is saying is, And he's bringing to Peter's attention, do you love me more than these? You know, and I'm sure what's going through Peter's mind at that time is, you know, I denied Jesus 3 times that night. John didn't deny him. Simon didn't deny him. The other disciples didn't deny him, but I did. And if you go back and read the account, remember in the account of Matthew, when we got to those accounts, it wasn't big soldiers that came with swords drawn saying, you're one of the Galileans, right? Remember, it was a little girl, a damsel, that did it one time. Another time it was some other men that were warming themselves by the fire. Another time it was a woman that said, isn't your accent, you're one of his. It wasn't people that were really a threat to him, yet he denied. And Jesus comes and says, do you love me more than these? Peter says, of course, thou knowest that I love thee. And there's 2 words for love that are used by Peter in the exchange. And the words are agape, which means an unconditional love, and phileo, which means a familiar love or a brotherly love. And he says, you know that I agape you. I love you unconditionally. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now, feeding the lambs is significant. What are the lambs? The lambs are the most vulnerable of the flock, right? If you've ever raised animals, and in the spring you have babies. And if you're raising sheep in the spring, you have lambs. And when the lambs are little, you have to take care of them because they need special attention. They can get sick very easily. We used to know some people, and they raise cattle south of town here. And it's amazing. Calving time is always in March and April when it's cold and wet and can be snowy. And so they'd have to be out there making sure that these calves, the minute they were born, they weren't left out in the field and they would get pneumonia and die. So they'd have to make sure that they got back, that they'd get into the barns and that they could keep them warm. And they'd give them the things that they needed to take care of so that they would not get sick. And there was special attention. And you couldn't stop attending them simply because the cow decided to have her calf in the middle of the night. You couldn't go, wait a second here. It's 2 a.m. I'll come back and help you with that calf at about 6 or 7 when I wake up. It doesn't work that way. When the calf is coming, the calf is coming. And you better be out there to help and make sure that the calf's needs are met, the cow's needs are met. And so you have to take care of it when its needs were most critical. That's taking care of lambs. You know, taking care of lambs in the church, what would that be? It'd be the brand new baby Christians. And they're very susceptible because they don't know anything yet, right? If you just come to know the Lord, you don't have a lot of spiritual knowledge in most cases. You haven't spent, most people that come to know the Lord, especially in our culture today, don't have a huge background in the Bible. They don't know a lot of spiritual truths. But maybe they've had someone explain the gospel to them. And as we talked this morning, when Paul was on Mars Hill and he's explaining to all the pagan philosophers, he's explaining the basics in the gospel, and then he goes a little deeper. And then, I didn't tell you what the responses were. There were 3 responses. Some of them said, this is foolishness, and walked away. Others said, we want to hear more, come back again. And then there were some that believed. They believed what he said, and what did he do with them? He took them. I don't think he just left them there. But I can see the Apostle Paul taking those that said, we believe, we want to learn more now, and taking them to other Christians in Athens, or sitting them down and teaching them what? More spiritual truth. Peter was instructed by the Lord, feed my lambs. Take those that are most vulnerable and that have just come to know Christ. You need to take them and teach them and nourish them and feed them so that they can grow and mature, so that they won't die when they're just babies. and that they'll be able to grow strong into strong sheep. So that was the first thing Jesus told them, feed my lambs. Next thing, he saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. If you can imagine, I'm sure that Peter is going through his mind, why is he saying this again? You know that I love you. Well, Jesus is doing it for twofold. He wants to show Peter, he understands that in the back of Peter's mind is always going to be this deal, I denied the Lord three times. Nobody else did, but I did. And Jesus the second time says, do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, you know I do. And then he says, feed my sheep. Now the word feed here isn't literally take and pour out the grain. That's not what this word means. It actually means tend. Tend my sheep. It means there's more needs than they've got than just to be fed. They need to be looked after. Tending the sheep for a shepherd, Peter would know what that meant because he lived in an agricultural culture and he understood what shepherds' responsibilities were. If you go to the Middle East today, the Bedouin shepherds still take care of their sheep, very similar in some parts of Israel and Jordan and Syria, the way that they did during the time of Jesus. They have their flocks out. They take their flocks. Tending the flock means that you're responsible for that flock all day long. You just don't take the flock and put them out in the pasture, but rather you have to be with the flock. You lead them. The 23rd Psalm gives us a picture of what the Good Shepherd does. Jesus does more than just save us, but He takes care of us. He knows what our needs are. He knows what our physical needs are. He knows what our emotional needs are. He knows what our spiritual needs are. And He tends to those needs. He's telling Peter here, tend my sheep. Understand that there's more than just looking out for the most vulnerable. But you also have to look at all the needs that they have. And every person's needs are different. My wife and I were talking, and she says, I don't know how anybody could handle a big church with thousands of people. And I remember when David Hocking was here, and he had a church at one time where he had over 5,000 members in his church. And he said, I didn't feel like a shepherd. I felt like a cattle rancher. just putting out the flock, putting out the herd. And how can you actually know the needs of 5,000 people as one pastor? You can't. And he's telling him, you've got to tend my sheep. That means you've got to know their needs. You've got to take care of them. You've got to see what they need that at that moment. When you have a shepherd and he's tending the sheep, if one of the sheep wanders off, the shepherd's got to know about it. And the shepherd goes out, and what does Jesus give the example? He says, the good shepherd, if he's got 100 sheep and one of them is lost, he'll leave the 99, he'll put them in the pen, where they can be safe, and then he'll go out to find the lost sheep. And the picture is given of the shepherd's crook, and it's got a great big hook on the end, and then it's a rod. And it said that that's there for two reasons. One, the crook is there so that the shepherd can grab the sheep when it's wandering away or when it's stumbled down the side of a cliff or something like that. He can grab it and pull it back. The rod is there to direct the sheep and to discipline the sheep if it tries to get away or get out of line. And so he has to know use the rod of correction, and he also has to have the crook of help. He has to be there for that sheep. He has to know what that sheep needs. The Bible's very clear about the responsibilities of someone who's overseeing somebody. They have to know the needs of the people. And they'll be there to exhort them, but they're also to be there to admonish them. What is exhorting and admonishing? Exhorting means that they need to be there to encourage and to help and to direct the person to get going on the right way and encourage them while they're going. And admonishing means you're going the wrong way. You need to turn around and get back here on the right path. That's tending the sheep. It's not just letting them go. David Hocking also gave the example that when he was on one of his tours in Israel, he saw a Bedouin shepherd, and the shepherd knew his sheep. And the shepherd went out there, and he said the shepherd had a pair of Armani shoes at that time. This was a number of years ago. The shoes were like about $500 or $600 shoes. He's wearing Armani shoes underneath his shepherd's outfit. So he said, I knew the shepherd wasn't hurting very much financially as he's wearing these Armani shoes. But anyway, he came over and he was talking to David, and David went over and talked to him about the sheep. And he said, I see that the sheep listen to you. He said, yeah, they listen to me. They know my voice. And I know what I want them to do, and I tell them, and they do it. And he had told the sheep to stop and to lay down and to just be there, and the sheep were just kind of mulling around, eating grass and whatever. And David said, well, would the sheep follow me? And he said, no. And he said, why wouldn't they follow me? Because they don't know your voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice. They'll only follow my voice. Well, he says, what is the word that you would say to them if you wanted them to get up right now and follow you and you start walking down the road? And so he shared the word with David. David got up and he said the word. He said it perfectly. He announced it perfectly, pronounced it perfectly. And the sheep just went and went back to what they're doing. They didn't do anything. And David said to the shepherd, didn't I say it right? He said, I told you. They won't listen to you because it's not me. They only respond to my voice. I'm the shepherd. And then David said, really? And he said, yeah, and I do have to be going now. So the shepherd said the same word David had said. All the sheep got up. The shepherd started walking. They all followed after him because they knew his voice. How did they know his voice? He spent time with them. And they listened to him. And so that's part of tending the sheep. Investing in them. And so he's telling them, you need to invest in my sheep. You need to take care of my sheep. You need to know what they need. You need to admonish them. You need to correct them. You need to encourage them. You need to do more than just feed them. Then Jesus says, and he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now about this time, Simon's probably going, Lord, how many times do I have to tell you? I love you! And this time he doesn't say agape, he says phileo. He says, of course I love you. Of course I love you. And Peter was grieved. He said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. Okay? He acknowledges that Jesus is God. He said, you know everything. And you know that I love you. You know that I love you. And then Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. And this time the word is feed. This time it is give them that which they need for nourishment and growth, to feed them. So he's telling Peter, take care of the young ones, tend the flock, and feed the sheep. Those are marks of your love for me. Those are marks of your love for me. And understand, you can't do it by yourself, but it's through me. And then he tells Peter something that Peter needed to understand. Because in looking at Peter's character and the way he's responded throughout, if you read the Gospels and see how Peter responds, he's always someone that Peter's energetic, Peter's forceful, Peter does what Peter wants to, and oftentimes doesn't even think about the consequences or what other people are going to think. He just does it. And the Lord's going to tell him something that's going to make Peter very humbled. And what does he tell him? He tells them, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest." In other words, when you were young, you got up, you put on your clothes, and you went to where you wanted to go. Nobody told you where you wanted to go. You told yourself, and you went where you wanted. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now, when Peter died, he died a martyr. And the historical account is that he was crucified, but he refused to be crucified as Christ had been crucified, because he said, "I'm not worthy to die as my Lord died." And he was crucified upside down, is what tradition says, or historical tradition. But he was bound, and he did go where he wanted to go. John, on the other hand, even though he was persecuted, he was sent to the Isle of Patmos, which was not a fun place to be. It was an isle that didn't have any comforts. It was a horrible place to live. And he was sent there to serve time, if you would, by the Roman government. And at one point in time, they were going to martyr him or kill him. And so they put him into a pot of boiling oil. And he survived. The Lord protected him and he survived. And of all the disciples, most historians and Bible scholars believe John is the only one that did not die a martyr's death, but lived to an old age. And so you have these two disciples, and these are the two that are sitting here listening to this interchange. John is sitting with the other disciples a ways away, and he's hearing everything. And then Jesus evidently gets up and begins to walk away, and Peter's following him, and that's when Jesus is telling them about, when you were young, you could go where you wanted to go, but when you get old, you're going to not be able to. And he's speaking of his death. And then John takes note of this. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when they had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Okay? So what he's telling Peter is, do all of these things. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Okay? Follow me. So you're going to follow me. The choice is yours. Are you going to follow me? And Peter gets up to follow him, and as they're walking away, John gets up and starts to walk along. But John's a little bit behind him. Okay? And all of a sudden, out of the corner of his eye, Peter must see John. And what does he say? Then Peter, turning about, he's turning around and he's looking, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which leaned on the breast at the supper. So that's how we know that it's John, because back in Matthew and in the other Gospels, we see that John was on one side, Judas was on the other. John leaned over and said, "Who's going to betray thee?" Jesus told him, "The one with whom I shall dip this bread into the sup." And then Jesus dips the bread into the sup and gives it to the other guest of honor, Judas. Okay? That is how we know that this is John. That was a seating arrangements at the last Passover. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on the breast at the supper. "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" In other words, what's going to happen to him, Lord? Okay, you've told me everything that's going to happen to me. But what about him? You know, sometimes that can be what our attitude is. We see that Jesus is working in our lives. He's called us to specific tasks. He says, "Walk in my power, you'll accomplish these things. I've got a calling for you that'll bring glory to me." And instead of going out and doing it, what do I often do? Turn around and go, "Yeah, but what about them? What about... You're telling me I have to do all that. What about them? Are they going to have to do the same things? Are they going to have to endure the things that I'm going to have to endure?" What is Jesus' response to Peter? What about that man? Jesus says unto him, If I will that he tarry till he come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, our attention and our focus isn't supposed to be on fellow Christians and our determining, are they really doing the Lord's work? What is God calling them to do? He's calling me to live this life, and maybe I have to suffer, maybe I've got to endure pain, but then there's this Christian over here, and he seems to be living a life of nothing but blessings, and it doesn't seem fair. That's really what the question is Peter's asking. What's going to be fair, Jesus? Is he going to have to do what I... Is he going to be put somewhere where he doesn't want to go, and they're going to tie him up, and... Jesus says, it's none of your business, Peter. It's really not for you to know. You've been called to do one thing, and that's follow me. I will do what I want to do with those who are my disciples. That's not up to you. And I know what's best for them. I know what is for their good and my glory. And that's what I'm going to accomplish. Your responsibility is to follow me. And you see, what Jesus is telling us is something that we often do. We always think that we're getting the short end of the stick, don't we? When we focus on ourselves. And he's teaching Peter the focus, you're not to focus on yourself, Peter. You're to focus on me. And you're to follow me. And you're not to be concerned how I'm dealing with other people, because I know their needs, I know what I need to do with them, and I know how I'm going to use them. You need to focus on following me. It's just like the sheep. If they don't follow the shepherd, but start looking around and saying, oh, that grass looks greener over there. Or, oh, look at those sheep over there. They look like they're having a better time with their shepherd than I'm having with mine. And so they get off the path. They don't follow the shepherd. What happens? They get in trouble. What are they supposed to do? Follow the shepherd. Focus on the shepherd. Obey his commands. Not be worried about all the other sheep and what's happening all around them. They're to focus on Jesus. And that's a good lesson for all of us, because oftentimes we need to look at our hearts and our lives and see what God would be doing and having us do, and not be worried about other people and how God may or may not be using them the way that we perceive they should be used. Because that's really what Peter was saying here. Well, you going to do the same thing with him? And Jesus said, it shouldn't be any of your concern, Peter. I will do with him what? If I should have him live until I return. In other words, if I have him live to be 2,000, however many years old, it shouldn't be any of your concern. And because Jesus said that, as John says, people thought that John wasn't going to have to die. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't be concerned about how I use other believers. Be concerned about how you're following and obeying me. That's what I call for you to do. And if you do that, guess what? Everything will fit together, because I got a plan. And his plan is a plan that's so marvelous. We look at it and we think, everything's falling apart. But he's got a plan. And he's got all the pieces where he wants them to be. We just need to be obedient and do our part. And God's plan is going to come together. So this morning we talked about all of the things that are happening in the world and how that we've been called to go out and preach the gospel. Well, guess what? We're not to be concerned about, I don't have a platform like he does. I don't have as big as, one of the things that I think that young Christians need to learn. You need to go where God calls you to go. And everybody doesn't need to go to Nashville, okay? Because every time I talk to a young Christian, and if they think they've got a singing voice at all, what do they think? I need to be making Christian records in Nashville. And I need to have a big stage. I need to be singing to 5,000 other kids. Well, maybe God calls you to go to work and be part of a Bible study like was shared here earlier with fellow workers. And maybe your platform is going to be two people. But that's where you're called to be. And you don't know how important that platform might be. Because maybe you are the only person that could be used to touch that person, and God knows that. And so He puts you there because that person needs to hear the gospel and be saved. Nobody else could do it, but you could. But you're worried about a giant platform where there's 5,000 kids and I can strum a guitar and sing like I got marbles in my mouth, because that's the way they sing these days. Can't understand a word they say. The thing is, we're called to follow Jesus and go where He wants us to go and do what He wants us to do. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand that. Help us to learn from the encounter that You had with Peter. And help us to walk with You. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.